While I was working on the Sydney Morning Herald, I could have been doing on any given day a portrait, a news job. The jobs that I hated most were court jobs and pretty much anywhere that people didn't want you photographing them. That was the kind of complete opposite of why I got into photography. So, yeah, but portraiture kind of was something that I really enjoyed through my time at the Herald.
So, what happened a few weeks ago to change all of that?
With sort of 40 minutes notice, our whole photographic department were called into the office and pretty much told of a proposal to get rid of like 30 out of 40 of the photographers nationwide through Fairfax. Once that happened, we were given a week's notice to kind of come up with an alternate proposal to what they'd put forward. And that kind of got stretched, and there were some negotiations. And in the end, myself, along with a number of my colleagues, took voluntary redundancies. The department's a very different place now.
Now, how did you feel about that? Even though you're a young woman and you'd be able to find employment somewhere else, and you have this wonderful, at the time, side career as an art photographer, 13 years you were with the Sydney Morning Herald. What did that feel like to be moving on and to be leaving colleagues behind and seeing that happen to them as well?
Well, for me personally, it was actually really great timing because I'd been building up my art career for the past 10 years. So it was sort of the perfect excuse to make that jump to be a full-time artist. But the way that it was implemented and the effect it had on all of my colleagues was really devastating. And although I had been working there 13 years, I was one of the youngest in the department. So we're talking about photographers who have worked there for 30 years up. And to see them have to go through, I guess, almost a humiliating process in that they had to reapply for their jobs, put portfolios together, prove to the paper or to Fairfax that they were worth re-employing. It was just really brutally executed and really quite disrespectful.
But when you are working as a photojournalist day in, day out, and it's what puts the bread and milk on the table, how do you manage to keep your art photography going? Because you have done this and to great acclaim over the time that you've been at, that you were at Sydney Morning Herald. Was it a really conscious decision? Did you really have to spend a lot of time working on the art photography as well?
Well, pretty much any holidays that I had were devoted to artist residencies. So I would spend a lot of time thinking about what I wanted to do, in terms of my personal work. And then I would have perhaps a month, say, to execute this. And that's the process that's seen me through the last 10 years. It's actually nice to think I might be able to have a little bit of a holiday now as well, because really I haven't. Any holidays I had were dedicated to making new work.
And I guess that's put you in the position now where you are able to make that leap from photojournalist to art photographer.
I haven't really identified as being a photojournalist for quite a while because even whilst I was working at Fairfax, I was doing a lot of portraiture, and that was sort of my strength area. My personal art practice also shaped kind of the jobs that I was given while I was working for Fairfax.
Let's go to your work now and spend some time talking about your work. How would you describe it for the listener who doesn't have access to the computer right now while they're listening to us? They might be driving along in their car, for example. How would you describe what it is you do with a camera?
Well, my work is highly influenced by the Pre-Raphaelite period of painting. So I like to think of my work as kind of a contemporary Pre-Raphaelite image where you've got people within the landscape. I am really interested in rites of passage and sort of personal rituals people create for themselves in nature. So I guess the easiest way to explain it would be people in nature kind of engaging with the landscape.
So what I'd love to do now then is ask about a particular photo which listeners can find on our website while they're listening to this. And the photograph is called The Artist. And do you want to describe for us what it looks like?
So the photograph is quite wide. It shows a landscape in which you have a forest, sort of which takes up a large part of it. Then you have a pond in the foreground and a bit of space to the side. And then you've got 30 or so figures scattered through that landscape. So the way that work came about was whilst I was doing the residency at Art Omai, I was really interested in using that opportunity where I was among artists from so many different countries to interview them about their relationship to nature and to find out whether where they came from informed the way that they kind of related to nature and what it meant in their lives. So I did sort of a 15-minute interview with each of these artists, and I asked them things like why they went to nature, if it was something that was a spiritual experience for them, if it was something that was recreational, if they did it alone, if they did it with people, all those sorts of questions. And what I found in 70% of the interviews, I found that for most people, the experience of going to nature was about arriving in the here and now. So it wasn't this sort of like otherworldly kind of spiritual experience in that it was off in the sky, and it was really about arriving in the here and now and not being engaged with computers and technology and just smelling and hearing and engaging with their senses and the landscape. And I just found that a really interesting kind of thing in that it kind of challenges our ideas of what is spiritual, and it seems to be quite a wide-reaching impression. And I got all of the artists to engage with that their answers from that interview whilst looking at this particular landscape. And so I asked them to try and use their own body to represent the way that they felt about nature within that space. So, for instance, if someone was really uncomfortable being in nature, it wasn't something that they felt safe or happy to do, they were sort of on the edge of the image. And so we went over to this location for about 40 minutes. I photographed everyone at once. And then I kind of painstakingly found the best image that represented, you know, each artist from the interviews, and kind of picked them out and put them in position, or kept them in position, so that it became one artwork as opposed to, you know, all 30 artworks.
Wow, that's an extraordinary amount of work to go into this piece of work. Is that the kind of detail that you put into all of your work?
It's actually quite a different way of working to what I ordinarily do, because I try usually to do as little sort of photoshopping as I can. But in order to get 30 people over in a space and have them doing exactly what you want at exactly the same time is almost impossible. And I kind of used whatever I could to achieve what I was trying to in this particular image.
I was interested to read in a profile written about you how enthusiastic you found New York critics and galleries when you were there on your fellowship. Is that different to how your art or how the art world is here in Australia?
So when I went to New York, I kind of went over with all of these preconceived ideas about the people I was going to meet and what they would be like, in particular the art critics. I mean, I thought I'd be going over to these, you know, these really big, hard-hitting art critics, and that they'd be sort of tearing my work apart. And I was quite worried I guess I was just a little bit scared about what was to come. Mm-hmm. And my experience was just so the opposite to that. I just found that on these studio visits, which were anything from half an hour to 2 hours long, there was just this amazing enthusiasm and engagement with the work. They weren't trying to tear it apart. They were really interested in the intent behind it. And it was a really great opportunity to be able to actually talk about the themes behind the work. And that was something that I really relished. And I think the conversations that happened that were less about what was in front of us and more about the motivations and the themes. And I guess they were just really interesting and challenging and inspiring.
It's an interesting time to be a photographer, to be sure, with nearly everyone in the country having a camera on their phone and then an app to make their work pretty. And everybody thinks that they're a photographer. What does this mean for the industry and the value of what you do as a photographer, do you think?
Well, I think that it's great that people are so engaged with image making. And I think that, the more engaged you are with that, the more interested you are in what's happening around you with what other people are photographing. I mean, I love Instagram. I don't have any kind of sense of hierarchy in terms of being an artist and not being on Instagram. It's actually been one of the most wonderful experiences in that I meet so many different artists and it's just an image sharing kind of process. So I am in complete support of the growing trend towards photography and image making. But I don't find that it really impacts on what I'm doing so much, because I still find, to create the images that I make, I still find it incredibly challenging. I'm using equipment that's taken me a long time to become familiar with and to become competent in. And I really don't think that taking a photo on an iPhone kind of compares. I mean, they're both really interesting processes, but I don't feel that image making is in the same kind of category.
I guess I'd like to ask you finally, Tamara, you're not the first photojournalist to make the transition, which I think must feel like a good thing. How do you see your future beyond Fairfax as not only an art photographer but an artist as well?
Well, I mean, this is the first time I felt like I kind of have the infinite possibilities ahead. I've really worked, when I had my photojournalism career and my art practice that I was building, I had a really lovely kind of relationship between them. Although they were very separate, they would kind of feed into one another in some way. And I'm really looking forward to seeing where this new time takes me, where I'm able to allow other processes to feed into what I'm doing and to just start thinking more broadly in terms of what is possible, taking my photographs to a different scale, creating installations around them. I don't know. I just feel like at this point in time, anything's possible.